Welcome to Whiskey Cask, Cask Strength Conversation featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 311 for April 10th, 2011. Coming up in a few minutes.
We call ourselves Bourgogneers. Bourgogneers means love to eat and love to drink.
That's Belgian whiskey writer Fernand Dacan. Fernand was my partner for the Cavalan Masters Dialogue in Taipei a couple of weeks ago, and we sat down over lunch to discuss whiskey in Belgium, where there are five distilleries and what seems like 5 million whiskey lovers. I'll also have highlights from Whiskey Live New York the other night, along with the calendar of events, the emails of the week, and a surprise for a couple of WhiskeyCast listeners in the What I'm Tasting This Week department. First off, let's look at the news. As always, it's brought to you by Glenmorangie. There was another earthquake in Japan this past week, a 7.4 magnitude aftershock, and as the country continues to recover from last month's massive earthquake and tsunami, the whiskey community is trying to help. Seven independent Scottish distilleries are joining forces for the first time to produce the Spirit of Unity, a special bottling to help raise funds for the relief effort. Isle of Arran's Ewan Mitchell came up with the idea.
It was really inspired by witnessing the tragic events unfolding in Japan after the earthquake and the tsunami. Myself and other people from Arran, we travel to Japan a lot, and our importer also imports a number of other of the craft distillers, the independent distillers from Scotland. And Japan, I know, is a place that's close to all of our hearts, and it was just really inspired by watching the events unfold and the feeling of, you know, can we do something to help? And we thought, just mulling over one weekend, I thought, you know, if we produced a bottling, a very special vatting of casks, one cask from each of these independent distilleries, it would create something absolutely unique, but could also, more importantly, raise a lot of money in the process.
How is this going to work?
There will be approximately 2,000 bottles released. They say there's a cask being donated by seven distilleries, each from the different whiskey regions of Scotland. And we anticipate we're going to bottle at 46%, no chill filtering, no artificial colouring. And we expect to get around 2,000 bottles as an outturn. 1,200 bottles will be sold in the UK via the two leading online specialists, Loch Fyne Whiskies and Royal Mile Whiskies, and all proceeds from the sale will go to charities on the ground in Japan, actually helping people right now. So nobody involved in the process, none of the distillers, our designers, Pocket Rocket, the packaging company, the retailers, nobody is taking a penny of profit out of this. And the only thing to come off will be the sales tax and the excise duties. But apart from that, all proceeds from every bottle sold will go to be donated to charities helping in Japan. The rest of the bottles, we're going to send about 120 bottles to the company Whiskey Galore in Christchurch, New Zealand. So they'll get this stock free of charge, and again, the proceeds from when they sell these bottles will be used for local charities in Christchurch to help with the regeneration process in the city there. And the remaining bottles, which would be 700 or so, will be sent out to Japan to our importer, a guy called David Kroll, and he will sell them out there through a couple of retailers. And the same idea, nobody's taking any profits at all, and all proceeds will be donated to charity and helping the people in the affected areas get back on their feet.
Let's get all the distilleries the credit here. Who all is taking part in this?
There's ourselves, so this is the Isle of Arran, there's Benriach, Glendronach, Springbank, Mitchell's Glengyle, also Campbelltown, there's Bladnoch and Kilhoman on Islay. So we're covering Ireland, Campbelltown, Islay, Lowland, Speyside, and Highland of all the regions.
How soon will this be available? I know you've got to get the casks up to Benriach so that Billy Walker can do the blending, right?
Yeah, Billy's going to take the casks in. He's going to blend them, and they'll be bottled at their bottling plant in Newbridge. Just as quickly as we can. I mean, we can get the cask pulled together. We need to get the packaging, the design of the packaging's been signed off. We just need to get the labels and the gift tubes produced. But we're hopeful that with a fair wind, that the product could be on the shelves at the end of April, if not at some point in early May.
How long did this take to pull together? Because this seems like a few phone calls did this over the course of about a week or so, right?
Yeah, we're just over 2 weeks into it now. So, I mean, as I say, I had the idea one weekend just after all of the sort of drama was unfolding in Japan. And I emailed David Kroll in Japan on the Saturday and said, look, I've had this idea, what do you think? He came back to me and said, it's a great idea. So the Monday morning, I emailed all the independent distilleries. And within 2 hours, I'd had a positive response from every single one. And it just really, that kick-started it, and it just kind of snowballed from there. We put out the press release on Monday. It went live on both the Royal Mail and Loch Fyne Whiskey's websites on Monday. And now, within 48 hours, they've taken pre-orders for over 250 bottles.
There are links for both Royal Mail Whiskies and Loch Fyne Whiskies at the WhiskeyCast website, along with Whiskey Galore in Christchurch, New Zealand. Meanwhile, New York City's Ward 3 Bar was the site of another fundraiser for Japanese earthquake relief the other night. L.A. Tam and Keith Allison pulled together their friends in the whiskey community for the cause.
We pulled it together over a weekend, so pretty fast, and we decided to do this because we are very into Japanese culture. Way before whiskey, I was collecting Japanese toys and watching Japanese anime. And Keith really loved Japanese movie and Japanese music, so we're very involved with Japanese culture. And now that we're into whiskey, Japanese whiskey.
How did the event go the other night?
Fantastic. We raised a lot of money for the Japan Society, Japan's Earthquake Benefit Fund, and the Red Cross.
How much?
$4,255.
About 80 people attended the fundraiser, and if you're planning an event to help raise funds for the Japanese earthquake relief effort, let me know about it. I'll add it to the calendar of events on the WhiskeyCast website. In other news, Ardbeg will hold its second annual U.S. meeting of the Ardbeg Committee this coming Saturday in Chicago. I caught up with David Blackmore of Ardbeg and Glenn Marenghi the other night at Whiskey Live New York to get the details.
We're excited to be doing the committee gathering again. You know, it was the first time last year, and we've always wanted to do something for committee members outside of Scotland, you know, and that's the whole thing of trying to bring the bottles the committee releases to the U.S. Big legal issues, so we're doing the best we can to show the respect due to American committee members. So one of the things we can do is the second committee convention, and we always link it to the Chicago Whiskey Fest the night after it. And we should have, we'll have Rachel Barry and some interesting new things from Ardbeg as well.
And what can you tell me about those interesting things?
I can hint at those things. There may well be the much anticipated and much leaked committee bottling, next committee bottling. But beyond that, I'll leave you guessing a bit.
That would be something that hints at alligator to a certain extent?
Now you're snapping at my toes here. possibly, yes.
Fair enough, I had to ask.
There may be. I'm not absolutely certain. It just depends whether it's shipped in time. That was the intention, to have a real treat. I know we have some interesting 1974 and 1975 samples, cask samples, which I will be bringing myself in my suitcase. So don't try and find out which flight I'm on and steal my luggage.
Tell me more about what's coming out from Glenmorangie, because I understand there's a new expression coming out later this summer, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've already had one expression this year with Glenmorangie Finalta, the recreation of the old style of Glenmorangie from about 1903. The next exciting one, very limited though, 100 bottles for the US, will be Glenmorangie Pride 1981, and that is the currently the oldest available Glenmorangie at 28 years old, and it will also be the oldest ever extra matured Glenmorangie. The last 10 of those 18 years extra matured in Chateau Yquem barriques. So available probably end of June. All depends on those ships coming across the Atlantic.
Is it already available in Europe?
No, nothing's launched yet. We'll be doing a first launch, after a little sketchy exactly on the dates. In the next month or so, there'll be the first sort of press launch, I think. And then availability in the US should be end of June, beginning of July. And there'll be 1 liter Baccarat crystal decanters. And I've tasted it. It's pretty spectacular. It really is.
Now, I have to ask, will Europe be getting it as well, or is this just a U.S. release? No, that's what I was asking, if Europe already had it.
No, Europe will be getting it as well. There's going to be a few markets, about 5 or 6 markets, I believe, that will be getting it. Don't quote me on that, but I believe a handful of markets will be getting it. The U.S. getting a good bulk of the bottles there with 100.
As David mentioned, much has been leaked about the Ardbeg Alligator. It's essentially Ardbeg matured in heavily charred casks. In the bourbon world, alligator refers to the most severe level of charring a cask because the inside looks like alligator hide. The committee gathering is Saturday afternoon at the Bottom Lounge in Chicago. There's a link for directions at the Whiskey Cast website. We all know about the Angel's Share, but the devil gets his due, too. Jim Beam is releasing a new expression. Devil's Cut will have its official release at Whiskey Fest Chicago this week, but Jim Beam whiskey professor Bernie Lubbers gave me a preview.
Everybody's heard the story that somebody along the way, or somebody knows somebody who did, who bought a barrel from a distillery, a used barrel, and then took it home, filled it full of water a little bit, put it in their backyard or on their driveway, got it hot, and the heat from that makes some of that whiskey, that 2 gallons that got soaked up into the wood, makes that come out. Now, sometimes, you know, that's pretty... It's really heavy with tannins, and it's really sometimes not the best sipping whiskey you could possibly get. But we have figured a way to get it out a little quicker using steam and a little bit, you know, put water in there. So we take 6-year-old Jim Beam and we dump it. So we got the tank there, okay? So usually we would use demineralized water to just bring that down to proof. In this case, Devil's Cut's going to be 90 proof. What we do is we take some of that, those barrels, sweat out some of that whiskey with some water in there, and then we use that to bring it down to 90 proof. So getting, you know, a lot of that whiskey, not to get a ton of whiskey out there, but it, you know, it's real, the whiskey we're getting, it's real full of tannins, real wood notes, big concentrated, goes in there. You get some a flavor of some older, and you might think it's an older whiskey than it is. And it brings a really nice flavor to it. We've been working on it a while to try to make it a consistent flavor, and I think we've hit it. And it's really cool story because, you know, the Angel Share is what evaporates every year. The Devil's Cut is what we're bringing out that you can drink from the barrel.
Where will this be available and when?
It'll be this summer and all over.
What price point?
It'll be in the mid to high 20s, depending on where you are. So,
what else is coming out besides the Devil's Cut, the Knob Creek Single Barrel? What else are you guys working on?
Well, that's enough for this year. That's our 2 big innovations we have for 2011. That we're working on. So,
how's the visitor center coming along? Because I know that was Fred's big project, was to get the visitor center rebuilt.
Yeah, that's a total. You know, yeah, that's an ongoing thing. That'll be through the fall for Bourbon Festival for 2012. It should be all done by then. So that's an ongoing thing. That's an every day, every hour, every minute kind of thing. And we're real proud of what's going on. If you haven't been to the Jim Beam Distillery in the last year or so, come back. And even if you have, come back because it's going to look different than it did a year ago.
What all are you doing?
Everything. We've got a new. Right now, Mark, we've got a new outpost. We've got where we're going to be putting in. We've got a rack house experience, so people can actually go inside of a rack house now, see where the barrels are resting, and it's all lit up and real nice, and you can really learn a lot. You know, that's where a lot of the, you know, we get 50 to 75% of our flavor from aging. So big emphasis on teaching people more about aging and what the rack house does. Eventually, there's going to be another visitor center, a brand new entire visitor center that they're going to be able to go to and experience. So that's the last hinge pin in the whole deal. But it's then we're still trying to figure a way to get, because such a big facility. You know, Colonel Beam didn't know in 1934 that y'all were going to come visit. So we're so spread out. It should be by then also a way to get through to the distillery itself and see a little bit how it's made and how it's dumped and all that.
Tell me about the book now, because in addition to being a comedian, a brand ambassador, a singer, and a bunch of other stuff, you're now a published author.
That's right. Who'd have thought? Sister Mary Alma would roll over in her grave if she knew that I wrote a book back at St. Albert the Great. But
there's a question about whether you read many books, let alone written one, right?
That's exactly right. But I just wrote a book, very, very happy to say is published by Blue River Press out of Indianapolis. It'll be available in the bookstores in May, so just in time for Derby. It's called, you know, and the publisher said, well, we should have bourbon or whiskey, the first 2 or 3 words, And what should we name it? I was like, well, how about bourbon whiskey? So it's bourbon whiskey, our native spirit, sour mash and sweet adventures, what it says on the front too. And it's about how I became. Everybody wants to know, how'd you become a whiskey professor? So I tell the, you know, abbreviated story about how I went from comedy to being a whiskey ambassador, a bourbon ambassador, and then funny stories and people that I meet on the whiskey and bourbon trail along the way. As you know, you meet some interesting folks. Oh, yeah. And then also big education, how to read a label, how age, really go in depth on aging and how a rack house works, how to do a bourbon tasting at your home, and different fun things. And when you come to Kentucky, and you will, how to visit. You know, everybody tells you to come, but what time of year? You know, what distillery should you visit on what days? You know, so it really kind of breaks it down really well on that point.
Officially, Amazon has Bernie's book in stock now and have added it to the store at the WhiskeyCast website. By the way, Bernie gave me a sample of Devil's Cut. I'll have tasting notes for it later in this episode. How would you like to celebrate 50 years with one company? Douglas Campbell did the other day. He's the master distiller at Tomatin, and his bosses rewarded him by putting him on a plane for Whiskey Live New York.
I think it was Monday. I was in the distillery for 50 years, so I'm 50 years and 2 days nearly now.
Congratulations. Tell me about that first day, 50 years and 2 days ago.
Yeah, it was entirely different. The culture was different in these days. A lot of people drank whiskey at the distillery, which no longer the case because of health and safety reasons and stuff like that. So there's a lot of differences.
But the whiskey really hasn't changed much, has it?
The whiskey is still the same, just that we have a better policy now than we had in these days because it was sold mostly to blenders. Nowadays, we're trying to portray our own single malt brands in a bigger scale.
Now, you have a whiskey to celebrate your anniversary, don't you?
So, it's not actually bottled yet. It'll be bottled this month. So, by the end of April, it should be available. But I have a sample here for you guys to taste.
And it's called Decades, right?
It's called the Decades, and it's a mixture of malt whiskeys from the 1960s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. So, a very interesting dram.
When will it be available? Later this month, you say?
It will be bottled in April because that's my anniversary, so they promised me it'll be ready in April sometime.
Where will it be available?
It should be available for the States and for Europe and for Japan.
Now, what else are you working on these days at for the start of the next 50 years?
Well, we're always introducing new limited editions of different ages of casks, single casks, stuff like that. And we're also doing another 30-year-old, which we had in the past, and it's been sold out. So we've got another 30-year-old sample here as well. So that's what we've got at the moment. That's about it. There's always new ones coming out, but you've just got to wait and see.
Congratulations on 50 years, Douglas. An update now on a story I first mentioned a couple of weeks ago. White and Mackay has officially confirmed now the release of a replica of the whiskey left behind in Antarctica by Sir Ernest Shackleton more than a century ago. The McKinley's replica will sell for £100 or about $164 a bottle at current exchange rates. £5 from each bottle will go to the Antarctic Heritage Trust. 50,000 bottles will be available. Staying in the Southern Hemisphere for a moment, whiskey from Tasmania's Lark Distillery will soon be available in the U.S. Lark was the first legal distillery in Australia, and as I first reported here 3 weeks ago, Marcel Importing has acquired the U.S. import rights for Lark's whiskeys. Marcel's Brian Dvorat gave me an update the other night.
Where is the Lark as we speak right now?
It is on the water, baby. Let me tell you, it's at customs. We're waiting for them to clear it. And then once that happens, I'll be able to go live with the first ever whiskey from Tasmania in the United States.
What do you have coming in?
I've got three different offerings. An 86 proof barrel, a 92 proof barrel, and a 116 proof barrel. Each one is different. Wild whiskeys, unbelievable. Okay, and they're all made by Bill Lark, who is the grandfather of Australian whiskey.
How hard was it to pull this deal off? Because I know that the Australians have been reluctant to go into the U.S. for a while now.
Well, it was a work of labor and love. Let's put it at that level. It was a true labor of love on both sides of the fence.
Where will these whiskeys be available in the U.S.?
We're hoping that they're going to come in, obviously, in 2 weeks. Hopefully, it'll be done with the clearing process. And then we'll be able to get them into New York, Texas, Chicago, etc. Now, they're going to be on extreme allocation. because he only is so small, he's producing only quarter barrels, okay? And they're aged 6 years in Adelaide port wood, so it's extremely hard for him to make his product. And when you're shipping it across the pond, as you well understand from down under, it takes about a month and a half, because in addition to us giving him the order, once he's ready to go, he then lets that whiskey sit in the barrel for about 6 weeks, getting ready to go into the bottles before he goes ahead, when he adds the water and whatever. Okay, he lets it sit for 6 weeks minimum, and he tastes it and says, okay, now it's ready to go in bottle. So it's going to be, we'll have little trickles of it for a while until it starts really getting going. But it's hard for him to make, too, because he only makes a quarter barrel a day of whiskey.
Brian also had samples of all three Lark expressions for me. I'll have tasting notes for them on an upcoming episode. You may have seen the term pure pot still on Irish whiskies like Redbreast and Greenspot over the years. Now Irish Distillers is redefining its terms and plans to start using the term single pot still instead. The Pernod Ricard unit is planning to put more marketing muscle behind both Redbreast and Greenspot, along with new expressions set for release over the next few months. Both whiskies are made at Middleton Distillery in Cork, and you'll be hearing more about the single pot still whiskies of Middleton as part of that campaign. If you'd like to find out more about the distillery, check the archives for episode 279 from last September when I visited Middleton. That's the news. It's brought to you by Glenmorangie, unnecessarily well made. Let's check out the emails of the week now, brought to you this time around by Highland Park. Heard from Brian Ivey in California this week. Here's what he had to say. Mark, first off, thank you for producing such a thorough and thoroughly interesting show about the world of whiskey with the E in parentheses. I always feel slightly obliged to include the E when writing the word whiskey because my first love was, and still is, Ireland and Irish whiskies. They have the magical ability of taking me back to a summer when I spent 6 months living there, sitting in the Eldon Hotel in County Cork sipping on Powers and Redbreast. But I have since developed an appreciation for Scotch and American whiskies, and my comment is regarding Talisker 10, which I had the pleasure of tasting last night. Upon tasting it, I was a little surprised to immediately experience a sweetness right up front that mingled with the spice and pepper to make something that tasted like hot cinnamon. I thought my taste buds must be off to taste hot cinnamon in this smoky, peaty whiskey. I kept on tasting, and every time it was there, hot cinnamon. So this morning I checked your tasting notes on the app to make sure I wasn't off on this, and there it was. A subtle cinnamon note that builds slowly and lasts into the finish. Is Talisker considered an Islay or an island whiskey? Thanks again. Keep up the good work, Brian. P.S. The place I tasted this whiskey was Villa Creek Restaurant in my hometown of Paso Robles, California. Their bar has a nice selection of whiskeys, including Lafroy, Whistlepig, a Glenrothes, and the Hudson's Baby Bourbon, New York Corn, and Four Grain Bourbons. Well, Brian, that's a pretty good selection, and thank you for the comments. Talisker is an island whiskey because it comes from the Isle of Skye. Only the whiskeys that are actually produced on Islay get to be called Islays, so Talisker is definitely an island whiskey, and I'm glad you had the chance to try it, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. Meanwhile, got a very simple email from Charles Brown the other day with the subject Costco and a photograph. The line, I'll take this in a 5-gallon jar of mayonnaise. This referred to the picture, which was a 55-year-old Macallan Leleque in a Costco display case with a price tag of $11,999. No word on discounts for buying it in bulk. And by the way, that's even more expensive than the 57-year-old Macallan Leleque at Park Avenue Liquors in New York City. The web price there as of today, $19,100. Finally, for the photographers in the audience, Chris Ratcliffe shared a Flickr gallery with us on the WhiskeyCast Facebook page this week. He's been trying to find some new ways to shoot photos of whiskey bottles and came up with some interesting images. Well worth taking a look at, even if you're not a photographer. If you have something to share, a question or a suggestion, you can use the WhiskeyCast Facebook page too, or just email me. My email address is comments@whiskeycast.com, and the emails of the week are brought to you this time around by Highland Park.
Hello, this is Jerry Tosh of Highland Park, the makers of the best spirit in the world. If you'd like to go onto the WhiskeyCast website and click on the banner, then it'll take you to the inner circle and sign up, and we'll send you as much information about Highland Park as you'd ever need to know.
Time now for the calendar of events brought to you, as always, by Laphroaig. Lots of things going on this week in Chicago, where it's Whiskey Week, heading into Malt Advocates Whiskey Fest Chicago Friday night. Check out the calendar on the WhiskeyCast website for a complete list of events. Hansa Spirit 2011 is this coming weekend in Hamburg, Germany, along with the Maker's Mark Thoroughbreds and Redheads weekend in Lexington and Loretto, Kentucky. The Spirit of Speyside Festival runs April 28th through May 2nd, all over the Speyside region of Scotland. Tickets are on sale now for the Spirit of Toronto Festival on May 14th, along with Whiskey Live the same day in Dublin, Ireland. Springbank Distillery's annual open day is May 19th, and the Isla Festival of Malt and Music runs from May 21st through the 28th. I will not be heading over for this year's event, but if you want a taste of Fagiel, check the archives from May of last year for the entire series of special episodes. The Jura Whiskey Festival is scheduled for May 25th and 26th on the neighboring Isle of Jura, and Arran Distillery's annual open day is scheduled for May 29th on the Isle of Arran. Finally, Woodford Reserve's final Bourbon Academy class of the year is scheduled for June 11th at the distillery in Versailles, Kentucky. You'll find a complete calendar of events at the WhiskeyCast website, and it's brought to you by Laphroaig. Just click the Laphroaig banner at the WhiskeyCast website to become a friend of Laphroaig and claim your own square foot of Isla. Belgium is a nation divided by cultures and languages, but they all seem to agree on one thing, a love for good whiskey. The country is full of whiskey lovers, even though Belgium is renowned for its outstanding beers. Belgian whiskey writer Fernand Dequan was my partner for the Cavalan Masters Dialogue discussion a couple of weeks ago in Taipei, and over lunch one afternoon, we talked about Belgians and whiskey.
At this moment, we have five distilleries making whiskey in Belgium. Most of those distilleries were Geneva distilleries before, or are still Geneva distilleries, but the Geneva is going backwards and backwards and backwards. Less and less Geneva is sold. So they try to do something else. They have everything they need to make whiskey, so they store their corn wine and they leave it there for years and years. We have corn wine in Filiers distillery for more than 20 years old, so we can use it, or we can make Geneva with it and work it further out to Geneva, or we can keep it in the bottle and put it in the bottle and call it whiskey.
What can you tell me about each one of the distilleries and what makes them unique?
Well, the biggest one is Filiers. It's Filiers distillery. This in Ghent, the neighborhood of Ghent. They have the biggest installations, the biggest stills. They have seven stills and column stills as well, two column stills. So they can do everything they want to do with it. And they distill most of the time for the other distillers as well. So because they have such a big production, they can sell their corn wine to the other distillers, their low wines to the other distillers. And there is one small distillery in the French-speaking part of the country, in Grasse-Hollande, and that's the one who makes the Belgian Owl whiskey, which is one of the best whiskies, as Jim Murray can believe. In the Bible, it got 95%. It's very young. It's very young still. He started in 2006, and so his whiskey is still young. And the others are Geneva distillers with a very low production. We have one brewery in Mechelen, a brewery who has his beer distilled in the Filiers distillery. And they don't call it whiskey, they call it distilled Duvel. Duvel is a very famous Belgian beer, and the same Duvel is distilled and sold as type of whiskey.
We know you have a large whiskey community in Belgium. I know of many whiskey nuts, for lack of a better term, who live in Belgium. What about the culture and the country lends itself to just this love for whiskey as well as beer?
Yes, we call ourselves Bourgogneurs. Bourgogneurs means love eat and love to eat and love to drink. And we drink a lot of beer, of course. We are a beer country. But in our festival in Ghent, every year we see more and more young people coming in to taste whiskies, and more young women. And that's a very good sign. They love and they learn about whiskey and they enjoy it.
You are also involved in the international whiskey festivals that are run in the fall in Leiden in Holland and also in Ghent in the spring. Tell me about those festivals.
Well, Leiden Festival is 11 years old. It's the biggest festival in Europe. We have in one weekend 6,000 people showing up. And they stay for four or five hours. And in Holland, they're different. In Belgium, it's completely different. In Holland, they're all there. Every session has 1,200 people. When you open the doors, 1,200 people is in front of that door. In Belgium, people come and go and come again and go again. That's big festivals. We have not that much importers in Belgium. We have only 13 importers. In Holland, they have the what they slijters call. Slijters is the shops, the whiskey shops, are at the festival too. In Belgium, not. We in Belgium can sell whiskey everywhere. My barber is selling whiskey. And when he's doing my hair, I drink whiskey in his bar. Really.
That's a very civilized way to get your hair cut.
Yeah. You just ask for a license and you can sell. In Holland it's different. You cannot sell beer where you can taste it. And you cannot sell whiskey while you taste it. And where you sell whiskey, you cannot taste it. In Belgium, we taste and buy and taste and buy.
Where can people find out more about these two festivals in case they'd like to come this year, later this year or next year?
Well, the websites are very easy, whiskeyfestival.nl or whiskeyfestival.be.
I know there are other whiskey festivals. The Lindoris folks hold that big festival every year in Lindoris as well, too, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we live in a country with has three regions. We have a Flemish part, a French part, and a German part in Belgium. And every part has its own festival, of course. We are not enemies, but we never work together.
There are links for all three festivals at the WhiskeyCast website. I mentioned the new Devil's Cut bourbon from Jim Beam earlier, and it's the one whiskey in the What I'm Tasting This Week department. I'll explain why in just a minute. As we heard from Bernie Lubbers, it's bottled at 45% ABV, or 90 proof. The nose, rich and spicy with caramel, black pepper, and oak notes. The taste has tannins, molasses, and a cinnamon note that builds slowly and lingers. But the overwhelming note to me is that of a vinegar-based barbecue sauce like you'll find in some parts of the South. Not tangy, but still very nice. That barbecue sauce note lingers through the finish. It's an interesting take on the traditional Jim Beam flavor. I'm scoring the Jim Beam Devil's Cut an 84. Now, that's the only whiskey I did tasting notes on this week. The reason is that I'm part of a unique project that the folks at Master of Malt, the online retailer, have organized. They've asked 10 whiskey writers and bloggers from around the world to come up with a unique blended scotch recipe from a series of samples they sent out. All 10 recipes will be blended and sold in a set of 10 30-milliliter bottles. And each customer who buys one will be asked to vote for their favorite. The winning blend will be produced and sold as the Blogger's Blend. I've been working on my recipe for the last few days now, and it's kept me busy. That said, I thought you'd enjoy this from Whiskey Live in New York the other night.
Now, I mentioned on the Facebook page during the day before Whiskey Live New York that I had something special for the first listener that approached me at Whiskey Live New York, and you are the first one. What is your name?
Neil Firetog.
Okay, Neil. You have a sample of a whiskey there. I want you to nose this and taste it and tell me exactly what you think.
Fruity, citrusy, real fresh, maybe a C something, grapefruit, real pleasant, real nice.
Go ahead and taste it.
Woo. Wow. Long finish. Very salty. Delicious.
That is the Cavalan single malt. The basic 40% ABV. None of the Solist versions. That's the base 40% Cavalan single malt. And I have a sample bottle of it here for you to take home and enjoy.
Excellent. That's terrific.
What'd you think of it?
It's very pleasant. I want to try. Have my daughter try it.
She's legal, right?
Yes, she is.
Okay. What's your name, first of all?
Meredith.
Okay, Meredith. Go ahead. Tell me what you think of the nose.
I definitely smell that citrus. You know, very fresh and light. Whew. Tastes a lot stronger than it smells. Very nice. You know, easy, not very heavy feeling at all. Yeah, really nice.
Congratulations. Thank you for coming up to see me and say hello and enjoy the rest of that Cavalan.
Thank you.
Just a bit of proof that if you're in the right place at the right time, good things happen. You'll find all of my tasting notes in the free WhiskeyCast apps for iPhone, iPad, and Android platforms. The iPhone and iPad version is sponsored by the Glen Rothes, and the Android version is sponsored by Ben Romick. They're also available at the WhiskeyCast website, along with the calendar of events, links to the WhiskeyCast Facebook page, and my Twitter feed, the WhiskeyCast store, powered by Amazon.com, and a complete archive of past episodes. The address is www.whiskeycast.com, and my email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com. WhiskeyCast is a production of Cask Strength Media, copyright 2011, and comes to you from the charming yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.